WADK. Here's your Boating in the Bay report.
Now, there is a small craft advisory in effect for Narragansett Bay until 7 o'clock this evening. West winds today on the bay, 15 to 20, diminishing to 10 to 15 this afternoon, gusting to 25. West winds tonight at 10 to 15, gusting to 25. West winds around 10 knots tomorrow, occasional gust to 20. And out on Rhode Island Sound as we speak, westerly winds at 20 to 25 knots. The next high tide in Newport Harbor tonight at 8:35. Sunset at 4:25, sunrise tomorrow at 6:35. The moon is in its waxing crescent phase. There is a small craft advisory in effect for Narragansett Bay until 7 o'clock tonight. Right now on the Newport waterfront, we have sunny skies, and it's 52. And that is Boating and the Bay on WADK.
Island of the airwaves, here is my request. You don't have to play it, but I hope you'll do your best. I've been listening to your show on the radio, and you seem like a friend to me.
Bruce Newberry!
All right, roll up your sleeve. Joining me on the line, Dr. Karen Tashima, Director of Clinical Trials at the Immunology Center and the Clinical Research Site Leader for the Miriam Hospital, overseeing also the Lifespan Clinical Research Center collaboration with the Specimen Processing Laboratory at the Miriam Hospital. Brown Medicine is involved there, and we have had Dr. Tashima on with us in the past. Dr. Karen Tashima, how are you?
I am very well. How are you, Bruce?
I am good. So glad to have you with us and so glad you were able to come on short notice. This is very, very exciting. We want to talk about this vaccine.
Yes, very exciting.
Really? So just amazing. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we heard today that the Moderna vaccine, messenger RNA-based vaccine, is also highly effective at preventing COVID-19 infections. So they showed that out of, there were 95 cases in the trial. So the trial is 30,000 people, half of whom get the vaccine and half get the placebo. And what they found out of 95 people who got the infection, the people who got the vaccine were highly protected. They were protected to the tune of 94.5%.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So there were 5 cases in the vaccine group. So they were, it was not 100%. But only 5 cases were seen in the vaccine group and 90 cases in the placebo recipient.
Wow. Where do these numbers usually fall?
Oh, that's a great question. This is, we're talking with about a whole new disease and new vaccines. So there was no no way to know really how
sure.
effective it was going to be.
What would what would have been the benchmark though? What were they hoping for?
Hoping for at least 50 or 60%.
Okay, so that's remarkable.
This way surpasses what they were hoping for. Yep.
Wow. Were there trials conducted in Rhode Island?
No, not this one.
Not this one. Okay.
No. But they were conducted in Massachusetts. And as you know, the company is based in Cambridge.
Oh, that's right.
So,
yes. Thanks for reminding me of that. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff.
So, very exciting news. They also provided some more details that out of the 95 cases, they did have a number of older adults, so 65 and older. They had 15 people and 20 participants identifying as from diverse communities, including Hispanic or Latinx, Black or African American, and 3 Asian Americans.
Excellent.
So, yeah. So, that's good because we know, we know that they're hard hit, so they're well represented in the overall vaccine trial. And they were also represented from among the people who got the infection. And again, you know, very few of these 95 cases got infection if they were in the vaccine group.
So now the other exciting part of this is how fast-tracked all of this is going. I mean, the time frame from here on out is really just unprecedented, isn't it?
It sure is. It sure is, and can't come soon enough.
Well, for sure. We all know that, but I mean, this is beyond hope. It's really incredible, beyond our wildest dreams. Tell us about the time frame as you understand it.
So, yes, as we're saying, you know, this has been planned to happen quickly as possible to get the data and get the enough data to the FDA that they can review not only the efficacy, how well it works, but also how safe it is and what people can expect when they get the vaccine. So further data is needed before the FDA can give an approval for it to be used under an emergency use authorization. So it's called an EUA.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that will happen sometime in December for both the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines. And then states can begin rolling out the vaccine to their populations.
Right. And there is a plan on how that is going to take place. Rhode Island is very buttoned up on this. And so there is a plan.
Yes, there is.
Go ahead.
The CDC has asked each state to come up with a plan. There's a lot of guidance for that. And so each state has to work out lots of logistics in terms of how to store the vaccine and where the vaccine is going to be given, who's going to be in charge of giving the vaccines, and the groups that are going to be asked to receive the vaccines first, second, third, fourth.
Sure.
So there's a plan, and I think the Rhode Island Department of Health is doing a great job. Definitely lots of logistics involved.
For sure. You raise a couple of good points, Karen Tashima, about the who's going to distribute it and how it's going to get to us eventually. But we know a little bit about some of the groups that are going to be in line first, as I understand it. There will be first responders and some elderly folks who are at medical risk. Is that the way you understand it?
Yes. They'll be in the first group.
Yeah. And then after that, the second group is teachers, if I remember right.
Correct. And of course, in the first group, we'll also want to have people who are at high risk of getting the disease or getting very sick with it.
Yes. As we've talked about, they were involved in some of the early trials. Now, the other thing that's so exciting about this Moderna vaccine is you mentioned how it's going to be stored. It doesn't have to have as critical conditions as the Pfizer vaccine. So that's going to make things easier, isn't it?
That will make things easier. For example, at community health centers where they don't have, you know, very freezers that are capable of deep freeze.
Right.
So it's going to be very helpful, as well as even at the pharmacies. I don't think that they have freezers that are capable.
No, I mean, they were talking some, 70 below or something like that, for that Pfizer vaccine. But this is not the case with this Moderna vaccine.
Right. The Moderna can be stored at minus 20 degrees Celsius. And then you want to know how long can it be, you know, in a normal refrigerator. And apparently the Moderna vaccine can be in a regular refrigerator temperature for up to a month. So that'll be helpful too.
That'd be tremendously helpful. Okay. What's the downside?
The downside is, some things that we don't know yet. So the downside, I mean, in terms of safety, everybody's going to want to know more details about safety. So far, what they reported in their press release was that people are going to get two shots 1 month apart.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's one downside. You got to get a second shot.
Well, that's it. You've got to get the second. So when we talk about these doses, you need to cut that number in half. So they're talking about, 20 million doses are going to be available, but that's only 10 million people.
Exactly. So so with the first injection, about 3% of people had pain at the site of the injection. With the second dose, people had a little bit more reactions, including 10% having fatigue, about 9% some muscle aches, some joint aches, and headaches. in 5%. So not everybody gets all of these things, but these are the chances that people might get one of these things.
Gotcha.
And but again, short-lived. So what does that mean? Usually that means 1 or 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. So not unlike when you get a flu shot. If you there are people who have reactions to a flu shot.
Right, right. You might still have pain the next day.
Yeah.
So that's something, you know, that we'll get more experience with as it gets rolled out. And then we also want to know how long does the effect of the vaccine last? So we don't know. We hope that it's going to last for a long time. Ideally it would last, you know, would protect us forever. We wouldn't need any booster shots, but we might need a booster shot in the future. So we just don't know that. And the studies that are ongoing are going to help answer that question over the next year or two.
Are there other perhaps cautionary type characteristics about the type of technology that went into this mRNA technology? Are there people who should be wary of that? Is that a long term thing? Do we know when might we know about that?
Right. So, you know, the studies will be going on for about 2 years. That's a very long time. This messenger RNA is typically, it's coding for the protein. So it's the information that's needed for the body to make the spike protein so that our immune system can develop the antibodies and the cellular responses that we need. But the messenger RNA typically is a very fragile piece of material. It can degrade quickly. So the reason why it's actually even working as a vaccine for us is that it's put into a special particle. It's formulated with a special particle of lipids or fat.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's... there is some experience with messenger RNA vaccines, but not a whole lot. There is no licensed vaccine at the current time.
No licensed vaccine that uses this messenger RNA technology.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is there anything like it? Is there anything that you can compare it to nothing at all? Huh?
Not really. Not any other vaccines.
Okay.
So not any vaccines that we're familiar with. The company has data on using this technology for preventing other diseases like Ebola, SARS, the first SARS. But there's not a lot of data, and it's not, you know, those vaccines were never licensed.
Gotcha. Okay. That I had heard, now that you say that, pretty early on, word got out that the Moderna vaccine was similar to the one that was used as an Ebola vaccine, and that kind of worked well, didn't it?
I think that
it wasn't used to a great degree. It wasn't used extensively.
Right. The actual Ebola vaccine, is made. I'm not sure who's actually making that currently.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Really interesting.
Actually, Merck has an approved vaccine
for Ebola.
So, but exactly what that vaccine consists of, I'm not sure. So, the mRNA vaccine is new technology, and you know we'll have to monitor people for the 2 years that they're in the study, as well as when people get the vaccine. There is a way to report vaccine associated events. So, you know, we'll be watching people even after they get the vaccine to see if anything new pops up. There could be a rare side effect, and we hope it's very rare.
Yeah.
And overall, though, if people are protected against COVID and if we can get the pandemic under control with vaccines, we'll be in much better shape. It's definitely this risk-benefit ratio, right?
Absolutely.
We see a lot of benefits.
That's it. A lot of benefits. And it has to be a calculated risk, and it also has to be a greater good. I mean, you know, we're in thinking about the times that things have not gone well. You know, there were times that experimental type vaccines went awry and things like that, and caused things like birth defects. If you know, not to just to get clinical for a minute, if we think about who might get this vaccine first, and that would be people who are beyond childbearing years. The idea that, well, if there's an if there's that kind of an effect down the road, the fact that it's going to benefit so many people who would not necessarily have this kind of a bad side effect or have an effect on their life or future children because they're not going to have any more children. So that kind of a calculated risk, isn't it?
Right. Yes, we've definitely very cautious about giving anything new to pregnant women or to children.
Yes.
So we're very cautious there. So that's they're not going to get the vaccine first.
And, so definitely
you know,
not.
We want to, we want to prevent as many deaths as we can. So we know the elderly are very susceptible. So we hopefully will prevent a lot of deaths with the vaccine by giving it to elderly people.
Yes.
And then healthcare workers or frontline people are, you know, there will be a lot of healthy people getting the vaccine. And so we can also see how we can reduce the risk of infection there, but also see whether side effects are going to occur, in a healthy population.
Dr. Karen Tashima, what would Lifespan and the Immunology Center and Miriam and Brown Medical, what would the role be of these organizations in rolling this out?
Definitely, Lifespan is putting together the some information about how to roll out the vaccine to employees and how that's going to work. So I think that's what the Lifespan is being tasked with by the Department of Health. Each of the hospital systems is being asked to look at how they'll distribute the vaccine. So we do luckily have a lot of freezers in hospitals, so that won't be a big problem. But we'll want to think out carefully how we're going to distribute the vaccine.
Gotcha. Very exciting and some uncharted waters, but hopefully it will be just a tremendous, tremendous benefit and we could just see the end of this pandemic.
Correct.
Excellent.
I hope so.
You, you and everybody else and me with you. Dr. Karen Tashima, thank you so very, very much for the information today, for being so forthcoming and for coming on with us in short notice like this. We really appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll be back in touch with you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thanks very, very much indeed. Dr. Karen Tashima, she is the Director of Clinical Trials at the Immunology Center at Miriam Hospital, research site of the Harvard Boston Providence AIDS Clinical Trials Group. She also oversees the Lifespan Clinical Research Center collaboration with the Specimen Processing Laboratory in the Miriam Hospital. She is a professor of medicine in the Division of Infectious Diseases at the Warren Alpert Medical School of Brown University. So there you go. Right? Let's check traffic. WADK's exclusive VD Mercedes-Benz VD Volvo Cars of Tiverton Bridge Traffic Report. Not a bad ride on the Newport-Pell Bridge. Couple of slow spots here. Midspan westbound out of the construction zone, and then eastbound in the zone just before the 3rd Street overpass. Slow spot there. So 7 or 8 minutes now eastbound, and about the same westbound, maybe as long as 9 minutes if there's a delay on that Jamestown-Verrazano Bridge. You are down to one lane for the length of the bridge. Squeeze over to the right. No, I'm sorry, squeeze over to the left. Stay out of the right lane. That's where the cones are. Stay to the left. This is why I stay home and work at home, because I really shouldn't be out and about. Mount Hope Bridge looking good end to end. Saconnet River Bridge, same from Portsmouth to the VD side of the river to the VD exit, the Fish Road exit, where it is always VD and U. Construction note, watch for lane restrictions on the Mount Hope Bridge tomorrow and Wednesday. And this week, look for sidewalk work over by Gladys Carr Bowlhouse Road, also known as the Goat Island Stretch in that area, and also up on Bellevue Avenue.
This portion of programming is sponsored by PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. It's important for your food to love you. We're talking about food that gives you energy, builds your immune system, and fights off diseases. A vegan diet loves you. Do yourself a favor and try vegan.
Newport Orthopedics, a lifespan physician group practice, provides advanced diagnostic, medical, and surgical treatments for injuries and disorders of the joints and limbs. Whether you have a torn rotator cuff, need a new knee, or sprained your ankle, they'll work with you to relieve pain and restore function. Let them be part of your success story. Newport Orthopedics. They keep you moving. Visit NewportOrthopedics.org.
Rhode Island is on the road back, even though that road may look a little different. We're all navigating our new way of living, social distancing, wearing masks, and learning to connect safely. Local businesses are also finding new ways to serve their customers and community. At Bank Newport, our values remain steadfast, serving your financial needs with multiple safe ways to bank. Learn more at banknewport.com. Rhode Island, we're all in. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Broadline Serves is our, through our Unite Us platform, is a collaborative tool that puts all of our social providers in the same network to deliver a collective impact for that veteran and military families.
We have over 160 personnel right now that are deployed, and they have been deployed for over half a year, and yet their families are home, and the spouses and guardians and things like that have been dealing with COVID, so they're not alone.
Brought to you by the State of Rhode Island and the Rhode Island Broadcasters Association.
Hi, listeners. This is Jane Burns Ruggiero, the sales and promotion director here at 3G Broadcasting and the on-air sidekick to Bob Angel during the morning report on W8K. I'm a sixth-generation Newporter. That's right, six. Honestly, I live in Portsmouth now, but I'll always be a Newporter. The communities in Newport County have survived since colonial times because my ancestors and the members of those communities have supported their neighbors when needed. It's time for us to support our family, friends, and neighbors. Those are the people that are the local owners and the employees of those local businesses struggling to stay open right now. Don't buy online. Get out and shop local, dine local, and support all the local businesses today. Let's think of the future generations of Newport County by keeping our community thriving now. I'm certain that you can find something for everyone on your holiday shopping list right here in Newport County. A gift certificate, jewelry, clothing, furniture, or home decor. There's so much available right here. Go out, start your holiday shopping, and support local now.
Liberty. Liberty Mutual Insurance Company customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
As a minimalist, paying less for insurance is more.
Nice place. Is your house a bubble?
It's a dome. I find corners unnecessary.
At Liberty Mutual, that's how we feel about overpaying for insurance.
But I do miss having shelves.
What would you put on them?
Nothing, obviously.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
WADK weather.
Today, mostly sunny and increasingly windy, high 53. Clear skies tonight, low 39. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sunshine, high 49. Clear skies tomorrow night, low 31. Wednesday, it will be brisk and colder with lots of sunshine, high 37. Clear and cold for Wednesday night, low 27. Looking ahead to Thursday, partial sunshine, breezy in the afternoon with a high of 49. I'm Cheryl Golden on 1540 WADK.
Get the latest news 24/7 at WADK.com. 1540 WADK. WADK.
When did the St. Ray's outbreak take place? Remember that? It was right way at the beginning, right? Well, look that up. And probably after we get to the open forum portion, we'll look into that because it there's a study that is out that says that the corona emerged in Italy earlier than was thought. Interesting. So fascinating about the whole vaccine, the Moderna vaccine, and how Rhode Island is right on the cutting edge with that great conversation we just had with Dr. Karen Tashima. And we'll put that up on the WADK podcast page. And really, really good stuff. Let us get to our author interviews, our Rhode Island Authors Expo spotlight, and we'll get to our authors in just a minute.
1540 WADK. Here's your Boating in the Bay report.
We have a small craft advisory in effect until 7 o'clock this evening. West winds 15 to 20 knots today, diminishing to 10 to 15 knots this afternoon. Gusts up to 20 or 25, waves 2 to 3 feet. Tomorrow, west winds around 10, gusting to 20. Rhode Island Sound, west winds at 20 to 25 knots. Next high tide in Newport Harbor tonight at 8:35. Sunset at 4:25, sunrise tomorrow at 6:35. The moon is waxing crescent. Right now on the Newport waterfront, we have clear skies. It is 52 degrees. And again, there's a small craft advisory on the bay until 7 o'clock tonight. And that is Boating and the Bay on WADK.
Your friendly officers here at Arrest the Pest serve and protect area homes, families, and businesses. Arrest the Pest has been providing the fix since 1986. No matter the pest, it ends in arrest. Arrest the Pest today. Call 738-3766. Pests, you detest them, and we arrest them. Hey, who loves you, baby? ArrestThePest.com. 738-3766.
1540 WADK.
Here's 1 minute of what you should know on this Monday. Middletown High School is set to reopen tomorrow after a two-week closure after that October 24th party that yielded all those COVID results. Superintendent Rosemarie Krager says there could be some misunderstanding. We've isolated everyone who was impacted, and it's not so much the transmission in school, it's really the transmission out of school. A fast-moving line of rain and damaging winds raced across the island and all of our hometown Sunday night, a 51-mile-an-hour gust of wind reported at Newport. Many will be anxiously awaiting today's corona numbers from the state. Dr. Jeffrey Gaines, chief medical officer at Newport Hospital, says the hospital is about 80% capacity. Back on Friday, there was a slight dip in virus cases. Westport Town Hall, Superior Court in Providence, Providence Municipal Courts ceasing in-person operations. The Block Island Medical Center fully reopening today. And your weather words, sunny and windy. Details on the way on 1540 WADK.
This is Steve Lombardi, Executive Director of the East Greenwich Chamber of Commerce. We have been the business voice of East Greenwich since 1929. Our mission is to promote business development and foster cooperation between business, government, and the community. We are committed to helping to make East Greenwich a better place to live, work, play, dine, shop, and do business. The Chamber provides many benefits such as networking events, townwide gift certificates, business education opportunities, and lobbying efforts. The Chamber promotes many community events such as our Main Street Strolls, East Greenwich Restaurant Week, the Greenwich Odeum, the EG Farmers Market, and many others. Membership in the Chamber says you support the business community and the community as a whole, and that you want to be part of moving us forward. For membership information, contact me at 401-885-0020 or steve@eastgreenwichchamber.com. You can also visit us at eastgreenwichchamber.com.
This is John Martin with an AARP Rhode Island update. No one is immune from scams, and that includes our nation's veterans, who we honor and thank this month. In fact, scammers specifically target veterans, assuming they have a regular stream of income from the VA. Scams can involve going after pension or disability benefits, fake requests for personal identification information, charity scams, phony rebate offers, and more. Be on guard. The VA will not request personal information by phone, text, or email. Use sites such as CharityNavigator.org before donating and trust your instincts. If it sounds too good to be true, you know the rest. When it comes to fraud, vigilance is our number one weapon. You have the power to protect yourself. If you're a caregiver watching after a veteran, you may have a role to play as well. For more information, go to AARP.org/FraudWatchNetwork. Keep up to date on the latest scams and sign up for free watchdog alerts from AARP.
The Irish Hour is back with some old and some new, but always the best in traditional and contemporary Irish and Irish-influenced music. I'm Rick Kelly. Join me Sunday mornings at 8 for the Irish Hour on 1540 AM and WADK.
North Kingstown's Information Station, 1540 WADK.
It is time for our Rhode Island Authors Expo Spotlight. Rhode Island Authors Expo is 2 weeks from Saturday, and it is virtual this year. What isn't, of course? And we're having a great time getting to know these authors. Dr. Barry Fleet has quite a story and has really made a life's work out of, just transformations. He's going to tell you all about it. Dr. Barry Fleet, nice to have you with us.
Thanks to be with you, Bruce.
Well, my great pleasure. It took you, 65 years to figure this thing out, huh?
Yep, between 65 and 70, yeah.
There you go. Tell me about it.
So my contention is that all of us have what I call an inner magnificence. You know, when we're 2 years old, we know we're magnificent. We put a towel around our neck and we're Superman and we can do anything in the world. But we get messages from parents, from people around us, telling us not to do things. And we start thinking there's something wrong with us being who we are. When I was 6 years old, I was in second grade and I loved school. And the school burned down, and I was watching the school burn down, and tears were coming down my cheeks. And the big kids, that's like the third and fourth graders, came up to me and they said, "Barry, why are you crying?" And I said, "We're not going to have school tomorrow. My world was literally going up in smoke."
Yeah.
And they all laughed at me, like, "Yeah, we're never going to have school. The school's burned down. It's gone. We don't want to have to ever go again." But I realized years later with lots of therapy that I made a decision that day: don't ever tell anybody what you really feel, because if you do, they'll laugh at you.
Oh.
And as a therapist and as a pastor, what I know is that between the ages of 4 and 12, all of us have one or two of those kind of life-changing moments when we get the message that who we are isn't okay. And so we build up layers of protection around ourselves, and we hide our own magnificence. And I spent my life that way until I was in my late 60s. I saw an ad for Oh My Goddard Triathlon. And I didn't know much about triathlons, except I always admired the Ironman triathlon.
Sure.
But when I looked at the sprint and did some research, I realized it's like a half a mile open water swim. It's a 12-mile bike ride. It's a 5K trail run. And I thought, I've got swim trunks. I've got a bike. I got the sneakers. I could do this.
Why not?
Yeah. And then my first open water swim clinic, I had my first ever full-fledged panic attack.
Wow.
It's like, who am I to think that I can do something like this? And the irony was, the tide was out, and if I put my feet down, I could have stood up. But I was literally, I was psychologically in over my head. But with some good coaching, and that's one of the things I've learned, is that we all need somebody who sees our potential before we can see it ourselves. We need somebody that sees us and believes in us and has a plan to help us become the best version of ourselves. So I did the triathlon, and then I came back the next year as a 70-year-old and finished first in my age division. And by virtue of that, was invited by the U.S. Triathlon Association to try out to represent the United States at the World Championships that year.
Nice.
What I tell people is, you don't have to get faster; you just have to get older.
Yeah.
Because in the, you know, me competing with a 25-year-old is very different than me competing with other 70-year-olds.
Well, sure.
So when I got that, you know, I realized that, yeah, I've been denying myself who I really am. And I realized that a lot of us do that. And so I've become very passionate about finding ways of inviting people to move into their magnificence instead of living from their ordinariness and from their plain, simple, self-limiting beliefs. And so that was behind my book called Move Into Your Magnificence, 101 Invitations to a Life of Passion and Joy. And it is literally, it tells my backstory, but there's also 101 invitations, and they all end with an invitation, a call to action. And with a guarantee that if you accept my call to action, when you go to bed that night, you'll be able to say, "I feel good about being me."
Well, there you go. There you go. Do you have to reconcile with the space of time. I mean, from 6 years old to 65 is a long time. Do you have to reconcile yourself with that, that there may have been missed opportunities, dreams denied, et cetera? Or how do you get to that point, and is that an issue?
I think for me, the way I understand it, my inner magnificence that has always been there was kept calling me.
Gotcha.
To try something new, try something new. And I was, at this point, I was in a place, I was semi-retired. Life was good. Life was okay, but that's what it was. It was okay.
It's just okay.
Which isn't a bad place, but,
you can be better than okay.
Yeah. And we all are better than okay.
Yep.
We just don't know it. And so this just happened to be the time and the place, and everything fell into place for me, to accept this challenge. And as I said, if I hadn't had a good coach along the way, it wouldn't have happened. I would have panicked and said, no, this isn't for me. This is too much.
Who was that good coach?
She was the head, the time she was the head of the Oh My Goddard, Triathlon Association.
Yeah.
And then from that, I got, connected to Spartan Racing, which is, obstacle course racing over ridiculous places of distances.
Yeah.
And
you were telling me about one of these Spartan races that you ran. Tell us about that one.
So there are five sort of categories of Spartan races, and they go from, they call the Beast, the Super, and the Sprint. And the Beast can be anywhere from 12 to 15 miles over really rugged terrain with ridiculous obstacles along the way, crawling under barbed wire and climbing over obstacles and all kinds of things.
Oh man.
When I talked to a woman, Heather Sisko from Fitness Adventure here in Warwick.
Mm-hmm.
I knew she had done some of these, and I sat down with her one day cause I had found this on television, and I said, Heather, do you think I could ever do something like a Spartan? And her eyes lit up, and she said, not only can you, you're going to,
yeah.
and here's the plan. And honestly, Bruce, my stomach cringed because I wasn't actually thinking about doing it. It would just be nice to think that I could.
There you go. So tell us where you went.
So I went to, the first one, the Beast, was at a ski resort in New Jersey. I didn't even know New Jersey had ski resorts.
Me either, actually.
but this ended up being over 16 miles with over 5,000 feet of vertical climb.
Wow.
And 35 ridiculous obstacles along the way.
Oh man, I have less than a minute, Dr. Barry Fleet. So tell us where the next one was that we're all going to be able
the fun one was at Fenway Park.
Yes.
It was a sprint, and basically it was a 5K sprint, bleacher sprint at Fenway Park, doing ridiculous obstacles all throughout Fenway Park. It was an amazing experience, and that's how I celebrated my 70th birthday.
That's excellent. Good for you. So we're going to be able to meet you virtually at the Rhode Island Authors Virtual Expo on December 5th via Zoom. It's free to register, rhodeislandauthorsexpo.com or rhodeislandauthors.org. And hopefully you're going to be able to have a coffee klatch and spend some time, and maybe you'll become the coach for someone that will remember you, Dr. Barry Fleet.
Well, I do that. I do that. And I want people to feel free to get in touch with me, and I'll be glad to help them reach in and connect with their inner magnificence.
Excellent. Hey, it's great to talk to you. Wish you all the best. Thanks very, very much for an exciting story, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the Authors Expo.
Bruce, thanks for the interview.
My great, great pleasure. Thank you so very, very much. That's our first of two Rhode Island authors in the spotlight. And we'll meet our next author, David Orsini, completely different direction. He's got a page up here, and one of the first titles is The Subtleties of Seduction. Oh, David! We'll get to him in a minute. Time for traffic. WADK's exclusive VD Mercedes-Benz VD Volvo Cars of Tiverton Bridge Traffic Report. We've got a pretty good ride on the Newport Pell Bridge right at the moment until you get to Newport, under the Newport Tower, and then over the 3rd Street overpass. A little bit slow, and then you're doing fine once you get to the exit ramps, either Connell or Kalpfus. Westbound looks pretty good right at the moment. It is occasionally slow through the zone and then out at mid-span. On the Jamestown-Verrazano, one lane for the length of the bridge. Slow it down there. 7 or 8 minutes now. Boston Neck Road at the foot of the downtown Newport exits. Mount Hope Bridge looking good end-to-end. Occasionally busy in the intersection. Boyd's Lane, Bristol Ferry Road, and Portsmouth. Sakonnet River Bridge, you know, just fine from Portsmouth to the VD side of the river to the VD exit, Fish Road exit, where it is always VD and you. We check the bridges every 30 minutes all morning and into the midday. We'll do it again in less than half an hour.
This portion of programming is sponsored by Batteries Plus Bulbs. At Batteries Plus, they do more than fix phones and tablets. They help their neighbors power their lives. Visit Batteries Plus in-store, curbside, and online at batteriesplus.com.
Why has Custom House Coffee won Newport Life's best coffee more than 10 times? Because we do everything we can to brew the absolute best coffee. We start with the finest, high-grown, specialty-grade beans, which cost significantly more than regular commercial-grade coffee. We roast daily in small batches on 2 state-of-the-art Dietrich roasters, so the beans are always fresh. The beans are stored in airtight containers until they are ground, just before brewing the coffee. We use plenty of coffee grinds in relation to the water, more than most. The result is a much richer, flavorful cup where you can really taste the coffee, with or without cream and sugar. We brew into insulated thermal carafes so the coffee is never cooked. Traditional glass carafes on hot burners ruin the coffee almost immediately. It takes a real commitment to produce the best possible coffee, but we have been up to the challenge for nearly 18 years. Custom House Coffee, 796 Aquidneck Avenue, Middletown, Rhode Island.
Hi, this is Stephanie at Coastal Foot and Ankle. We would like to thank everyone for the stellar year we've had. Coastal Foot and Ankle is a multi-practice podiatric doctor's office specializing in surgical and non-surgical foot and ankle issues. Dr. Jonathan Saborin is the doctor of podiatric medicine at Coastal Foot and Ankle. We participate with most major insurance companies and are currently accepting new patients. We are located at 850 Aquidneck Avenue in the back of the Middletown Commons Plaza. We also have a location in Fall River, Massachusetts. We at Coastal Foot and Ankle strive to bring you comprehensive care that is also compassionate. When you call Coastal Foot and Ankle to make an appointment, you talk to a person. You don't have to push 15 buttons to get to a live person. We want patients to come in and feel like they are more than a number. We want you to be heard, and we want you to be part of the Coastal Foot and Ankle family. Our phone number is 401-849-2157. You can find us online at coastalfootdoc.com. From Dr. Saborin and all of us here, thank you for being part of the Coastal Foot and Ankle family.
WADK weather.
Today, mostly sunny and increasingly windy, high 53. Clear skies tonight, low 39. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sunshine, high 49. Clear skies tomorrow night, low 31. Wednesday, it will be brisk and colder with lots of sunshine, high 37. Clear and cold for Wednesday night, low 27. Looking ahead to Thursday, partial sunshine, breezy in the afternoon with a high of 49. I'm Cheryl Golden on 1540 WADK.
1540 WADK, WADK.
It's our Rhode Island Authors Expo Spotlight, and it's great to talk to novelist David Orsini. David, nice to have you with us.
Well, it's good to be with you.
Good to talk to you. You are a novelist, and you have a whole bunch of books that you've written. This is you're prolific, sir. Very, very good. Tell us about what you write.
I write basically literary fiction that is linked sometimes to World War II dramas that connect also to romantic triangles, but written in a realistic way. I also write novels that are connected with the theme of revenge that anchors itself to remorse, retribution, new self-awareness, and sometimes the possibility of repentance. Those are basically the narrative lines that I set forth. And I think that The Weaver of Plots is a good sample, example of the kind of thing I do.
Tell me about The Weaver of Plots.
Well, in The Weaver of Plots, revenge makes a woman dangerous and relentless and destructive. Charlotte Scott, the protagonist, is a privileged young woman who devises a plot to steal a young man from her own class called Noah Blake away from her best friend, Olivia Tanner. This complex narrative quickly draws the reader into multiple subplots that parallel and intersect the original triangle, including Charlotte's violent act of revenge against Noah, the lover who has abandoned her after she becomes pregnant, as well as her unconventional relationships with two other men, Stephen and Rick, and her second act of revenge years later against Noah Blake. If you really want a capsule summary of the novel, it might read something like this. A woman shoots the lover who has betrayed her. A man rejects his infant son and lives to regret it. A woman's revenge, yoked as it is to her love-hate confusion, makes her its prisoner.
Yikes.
And that's basically the narrative line for The Weaver of Plots.
Wow.
And I think that women will like to read it especially, but there are lines in there, in the narrative, that would also draw men. I think my male characters are realistic, and also the situations might help men to understand more clearly their relationships with their women, their wives, or their girlfriends. That's just one of the novels.
All right.
But I also write in the genre of noir thrillers.
Oh, yes.
Schemes, Disguises, and Traps is another one of my novels. In that novel, Bryce and Lauren, a bitter and dangerous young couple, plot to murder a wealthy man, Aaron, after Lauren marries him. But the plan, which eventually involves the murder of more than one man, becomes a scenario of disguise and betrayal when Lauren falls in love with Aaron, the man that she and Bryce planned to murder. Aaron proves himself to be as devious as Lauren and just as dangerous. Aaron's cousin Gavin stands in the way of Aaron's receiving his inheritance in a timely manner. Now Lauren weaves a double plot. She persuades Aaron to help her arrange an incident in which Bryce, believing that he's killing Aaron, will murder Gavin instead. What eventually happens involves a few twists, new betrayals, and some surprises.
Wow. I'm
giving you the plot outline.
Well, you kind of are, but it's okay.
I'm a novelist interested. Thank you. I'm a novelist interested in the delineation of character. In other words, if I put a particular human being there on the page, if I'm discovering who that person is, I want the reader to know.
Sure.
So it's not only about action, but it actually is about character, the motives, really about what the person does or should have done or should not have done. Those are readers who like World War II novels might like two novels that I've written set during World War II. They are The Woman Who Loved Too Well and its sequel, The Ghost Lovers. In The Woman Who Loved Too Well, a young World War II hero named Mark persuades his wife, Simone, who's an agent for the French Resistance, to use her influence upon a Nazi officer, Gerhard, so that the Germans will free a captured RAF pilot. But the plan, which unfolds in unexpected ways when Simone falls in love with Gerhard, becomes a scenario of passion, betrayal, and revenge. Gerhard, it turns out, really, at heart, is not a Nazi. He's someone who loves his homeland, Germany. He's fighting to try to keep Germany vital, alive, and possibly without Hitler. So that he's a different kind of Nazi. At heart, he's not a Nazi, and the reader will understand why Simone is drawn to him. At the same time, still loving her husband, Mark. So that Mark, it turns out, does some acts that are violent, and yet, even though he's an anti-hero, the reader might sympathize, if not empathize, with him. Try to connect with the conflicts that he's going through and the problems that he's facing. we meet those same characters, Mark and Simone, in the sequel, The Ghost Lovers. There, Mark and Simone are caught inside their own battle to settle the issues of a broken marriage as World War II continues to rage around them. Working for the RAF still, the British service and the French resistance, they're searching for a double agent who has caused the death of thousands of allies. The presence of Hans Müller, a former Nazi who is now a resistance ally, and Simone's new lover, complicates every aspect of their lives. Mark is determined to win back Simone's love. He's also determined to prove that Hans Müller is the notorious double agent. So those are some of the novels that I've written. And the novella, which is set in Newport, is called The Subtleties of Seduction. And that is a different kind of narrative because it concerns a boat race on Newport waters that actually goes wrong because it involves still another plot. In the novella, a boat race on Newport, Rhode Island waters during the summer of 1920 initiates a scenario of scandal and malice and duplicity. A young woman named Linda, who's always subdued her wilder impulses, becomes infatuated with Ryan, a reckless 19-year-old youth. Linda, though, is engaged to Stephen Bradford, a war hero and a promising lawyer, so that Linda's feelings for Ryan complicate her situation. One afternoon, because she wants to be in the company of both men at the same time, she urges her fiancé to accept Ryan's challenge to a sailboat race. But she's dismayed when her younger sister, Tracy, joins Ryan in the boat, which he will be navigating. Instantly, she understands that Ryan and her sister, Tracy, are lovers, and that Ryan was merely playing a game with her when he roused her need for him.
Wow.
Ryan and Tracy have, in fact, devised the scenario of the boat race so that they can be alone together.
Aha. Well, you can,
Ryan and Tracy.
Well, sounds great, David, and you can discover David and many other Rhode Island authors at the 8th Annual Rhode Island Author Expo virtually this year. You can visit riauthorexpo.com or riauthor.org, and we're having a great time getting to know some of these authors, David Orsini right there, and Dr. Barry Fleet today, and more coming.
Corrigan Financial believes everyone needs a financial plan, but perhaps it's one of life's big decisions that you've been putting off. Are you soon to be concerned with paying for a college education? Are you approaching that time when you need to provide help for aging parents? And what about you and your eventual retirement? For decision-making processes like these, that's where Corrigan Financial comes in. Every new client starts with a comprehensive financial plan. Clients work with their own team of credentialed planners, investment professionals, and support staff, including CPAs, CFPs, and CMAs, to help make informed decisions and move in the right direction financially. It's a planning process that is ongoing with updates at least annually. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, everything begins with a plan tailored specifically for you. Welcome to the world of Corrigan Financial, celebrating 30 years of helping families and businesses get from where they are to where they want to be.
From the VD Mercedes-Benz, VD Volvo Cars of Tiverton Studios, this is your hometown information station, 1540 WADK Newport.
At Clements Marketplace, family-owned and operated since 1980, the Flower Cart is a full-service floral shop that makes your floral vision come to life. In addition to custom offerings for landmark events, Clements carries fresh-cut flowers, blooming plants, and more. They custom-make fruit or gourmet gift baskets. And don't miss Clements' extensive